This is never a job I take lightly. It's probably the most humbling thing that I do is to stand up here and teach before people that want to hear the word of God, people that they come because they're hungry, people that want answers, people that want to get nourishment on a regular and a weekly, daily basis. It's not a job I ever take lightly. So anyways, we're going to start this morning in John chapter 14. I'd like to title this teaching, because I don't want to know what I'm titling it. But turnabout's fair play, because as soon as somebody's done teaching up here, I go, what do you want to call that? Because I have to label it and put it on the website. So anyways, I'm going to call this one, Teach You All Things. Teach You All Things. John 14, verse 25 is our starting point. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, Jesus Christ speaking. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And when you see that word shout, it's never a possibility, is it? It's an absolute. But that's a pretty striking statement, that he shall teach you all things. So let's look at another verse. John 16, just a couple pages or one over. John 16 and in verse 13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Those are two pretty important declarations in God's word that Jesus Christ spoke. And so when I read that, when I see that, it speaks loudly to me, especially from some past teachings that I've heard over the years, people that I have a great respect for and how they brought to life things of the Word of God. So it was last week, I would often hear Reverend Burton give these definitions for doctrine, reproof, and correction. And so I kind of knew the basic definitions, but there was a way that he phrased it that I always liked hearing it, and I wanted to write it down. So last week I picked his brain, and I said, Earl, what's that definition? So I wrote those definitions down, and he looked at me, and he goes, you know where I got that, don't you? And he goes, I got that from Dr. Werwell. So then I go home, and I just happened to spit out a little bit of that to Julie. She's like a, you know how we used to have those books that, like the scripture references? She's a walking, talking scripture reference. My wife is. You bring up a subject in one of the collaterals or one of the books that we've, she'll just drop everything that she's doing. She'll go right in and she'll start leafing through the pages and find the exact thing you're looking for. So she goes, Ron. So I'm going to read you some of this.
I know who to call now.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is one of my handouts from the Power for Abundant Living class.
The church.
Yep. The church, the great mystery. Nowadays, I think it's also in one of the volume. But anyways, I'm going to read you this section. This is in the introduction of Dr. Werwell's book from our Power for Abundant Living readings. When the first century believers failed to continue to act in light of the great mystery as unfolded so magnanimously in the epistle to the Ephesians, They lost the true teaching concerning the mystery, which is the center of all true Christian faith, the one body of Christ. The immediate consequence of the loss of this truth of the great mystery produced glowing errors. It initiated the different so-called bodies with all the subsequent division and schism in the church body. Instead of rightly dividing the word of truth and recognizing the one body which God made, Ephesians 4:4, men set about making their own ecclesiastical bodies and sects. The truth as to the believer's perfect standing before God in Christ was the next major loss. Hear that? The truth as to what God made every believer to be in Christ, how every believer is justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and saved by God's grace, was all basically lost. Failing to adhere to the truth, the teachers began to propagate error regarding the Lord's promised return from heaven, the gathering together, and the resurrection. Preparation for death and judgment replaced the great hope of the blessed return of Christ. Spiritual darkness engulfed the Christian world, and religion, man-made forms of worship, became the norm of Christianity. This all-pervading spiritual sterility is yet around us, upon us, and in us. We have not recaptured the truths of the revelation of the great mystery. The first truth to be lost is always the last to be recovered. What a powerful statement. And then...
Keep going.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. I like
you. Okay. A little farther in the book. The first step of all degradation when the Word of God is wrongly divided is practical error. After practicing developing error sufficiently, we make a doctrine of it. Finally, doctrinal errors manifest themselves in creeds, rules, and commandments of men. And then the nice little chart. So, doctrinal treaties. I gotta erase some of my pencil markings because there's just slight differences from the definition. You'll like these, though.
Okay.
Doctrinal treaties. How to believe rightly. So, doctrinal treaties. How to believe rightly. Reproof epistles. Reprove the practical error resulting from wrong believing. Failing to adhere to the revelation in the doctrinal treaties. Correctional epistles. They correct doctrinal error resulting from wrong practice, failing to adhere to the revelation and the doctrinal treaties. Pretty cool. So that is the all truth, these epistles. Why do I bring this up? Because... what got me started on this teaching, I've shared it in fellowship a few times, but this part I've added anyways. And so what got me going was I couldn't get this out of my mind, the fact of what this said in John about the he shall teach you and the guide you into all truth. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of Word of God you can get blessed reading and occurrences and things, but I wanted to read what is addressed to me, what I've been taught is to me, and see what I need to do, see what I need to learn, see what I need to walk, see what I need to apply. And there's plenty of material there. You know, I can read a lot of the books, a lot of the things we've been taught, but I wanted to go to the source and just read. And I've only written down a few scriptures because there's all, you know, it's Romans through Thessalonians. And there's a lot in Romans and Thessalonians. But this is just the point of what's there. So let's start in a doctrinal epistle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I bring these up because of the fact that, you know, these are addressed to us. This is learning for us. Well, so am I doing what these are saying? Can I make a steering direction in my walk? The answer is definitely yes. 1 Thessalonians 1. This is very vital, very important. 9. 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And right there we have set before us one of the most important things for us to stay focused on and to do. You know, we might think there's a lot of other important things going on in our life around us and what we got to do today, here, tomorrow, and up in the future. But to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. That's a task we have before us, and it's written right there. It tells us what to do. Chapter 2, verse 12. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Oh, I forgot verse 12.
Yeah. That's right.
That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. And then verse 13. Okay, you can't miss this one. Chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. Already plenty of stuff to pay attention to right there. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I shared a teaching here a few weeks back, or a month or a couple back, about this verse, and that's how I came across it. I was doing these readings through the epistles, and I kind of got stuck when I got there, when I was like, But anyways, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others also which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We read about that earlier in verses 9 and 10 of 1 about the, you know, what we're to do. And here it is again. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, another doctrinal. It's for right believing doctrine. You want right believing, right? Right answer. Romans 1, so do I. I don't know about you, but somehow it's like, you read this stuff, you've been taught things about it, you know what you're supposed to do, but then all of a sudden you walk out the door, you get all involved with everything else that's going on, and it's like you're forgetting about, I want the basics, doggone it. I want just, you know, the simple down to earth, just simple, I can't hear it enough over and over again, stuff. It's not, sure, I get blessed with it, you know, in-depth teachings, in-depth research. I mean, that's kind of what got us all started. We were a biblical research and teaching ministry, right? What we kind of still are. It's important to us. But I need stuff that, okay, I read it many times, and I still maybe haven't got it. You understand? That's where I'm at. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by believing. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, this section here really gets me, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what?
Clearly seen.
Yet I go around and I miss it? It's like I got to get back to the just the clearly seen portion. Being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what?
Thankful.
Boy, isn't that important.
Yes.
Yeah. We get so wound up sometimes, and we got to have this, we got to have that. This has got to be doing this way, this has got to be doing that way, and then we forget all about, you know, clearly seen and thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Dr. Werwell used to say something along the lines, if you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food on your table, you got so much to be thankful for. No, I don't have that 80-inch big screen TV.
You ain't missing much, brother.
Oh, jeez. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Oh yeah, this guy's really important. He's really a big wig. He's really knowing what's all going on. You just listen to him. He's got everything. He got it. No. Chapter 5. 1. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God. You want some peace?
Yep.
Yep, so do I. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by believing into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Nice. Chapter 6. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. They say 6:9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yep. I didn't write this. Again, this is instruction in right believing. 8, chapter 8. Now, if you don't do everything right, you're going to have to condemn yourself. No. Oh, I better read what's written. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do. For what the law could not do. It was in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, and he did what nobody else could have ever done. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, and that's pleroho, filled to capacity in us, who walk not after the flesh, but what do you got to do? Yeah. You think that's a good thing to do?
Yeah.
I mean, where did you learn it? Yeah, and as it was it addressed to us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 16. This is really good. This is more good instruction. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children and heirs of God, and joiners with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I got to be honest. I struggle with that sometimes. I'm like, God, are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, when I'm praying and I'm speaking in tongues, and I'm like, am I saying it right?
Yes. Yeah, that's one thing.
Oh.
Can't I say that?
Nope.
Yeah, thank you. Let's look at something else. The reproof, Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5. That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we read about that in the doctrinal epistles about what we were supposed to do. About the. Let's look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. There it is again. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Chapter 2, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And again, remember, the reproof epistles reproves the practical error resulting from wrong believing, failing to adhere to the revelation in the doctrine. And so it's here's a nice reminder for them and us. We're not exempt all the time. 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So why do you want to, or why do I want to, or anybody want to, think they got to be doing all this or all that instead of coming back to the foundation? We'll skip that one. You know that one. Let's look at 15. Behold, I show you in a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It just keeps coming up over and over again, back to the doctrine of the importance of the gospel, of, you know, what's truly important in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3. As you see, I'm just going through some of the verses that, as you go through these epistles. 3. These are just some that caught my eye and blessed me. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
Isn't that a nice one to hear? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, Philippians, more reproof epistle. Philippians, another reproof epistle. 2:12. Oh, gosh. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Nice little reminder, isn't it? 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but of that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, which is the righteousness of God, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Boy, don't we just strive for that? To know him and the power of his resurrection. 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to take a look at a few of the correctional ones. Galatians 1. Again, what was then I had? Galatians. Correctional epistles, correct doctrinal error resulting from wrong practice, failing to adhere to the revelation in the doctrinal epistles. So Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2. Oh gosh, this one's really an opener. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that sermon came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And other Jews dissembled them likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Boy, that's a really telling section. Look at 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by believing of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So what do you think we ought to do?
Believe.
But no, I got to do this today. I got to do that today. I got to go accomplish this. I got to go. 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled. Boy, that really says it good, doesn't it? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Boy, that God has a way of putting words that just have real mind pictures. And let's close in these two sections, Colossians 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you with the philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And when you look at the doctrine, reproof, and correction, and you see that this lays here in this correctional epistle, it makes this verse 10 really stand out. How it's got that, you know, completely, absolutely complete. That, you know, to stand in that spot. I want to close with this section, and what a beautiful section it is. 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. And that takes work.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. But I don't wanna. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, if that other stuff wasn't enough, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the greatness of your word that you have declared unto us, how you have given us instruction in righteousness, in your word addressed specifically to us, and that we can continue to have great learning moment by moment, day by day, as we go to your word, read it and apply it, and do our absolute best to walk upon it and to do what you've instructed us to do. Thank you so much, God, for the instruction and learning that you've laid out for us, so that we do not need to err therein. Thank you, God, for being a God that's gracious, merciful, and kind, so faithful to take care of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.